You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Official figures show almost 18,000 retail workers are on minimum wage, currently $16.50 an hour. Figures also show 67% of retail workers see it as their career. First Union is fighting for the living wage through their Worth It campaign, arguing retail is valuable work that often goes unnoticed. The campaign has included negotiations with employers, public information campaigns, and picketing. I spoke with Robin Wilson-Whiting of First Union about retail workers' wages and their recent picket of a supermarket, first asking her what conditions were like for retail workers currently.
Well, we see a huge amount of retail workers in New Zealand being paid the minimum wage, currently $16.50. That's well below the current living wage, which is $20.55. And I would say the vast majority, if they're not currently on the minimum wage, they're certainly well below the living wage, and we're constantly bargaining with employers to try and lift retail workers to the living wage. Other conditions are difficulties around getting enough hours of work per week. You know, you could get paid more per hour, but if you've only got 5 or 10 hours contracted per week, that makes it really difficult. There are a raft of other conditions in terms of, you know, often being subjected to customer abuse because there's not enough staff, those lack of staffing issues causing difficulties around health and safety and well-being. There's a lot of challenges for retail workers in New Zealand, and they deserve to be recognised and paid a living wage and see some of those other conditions improved as well.
And why do you feel so many retail workers are on the minimum wage?
Historically, we haven't, as a society, valued the work that retail workers do. I mean, you know, any one of us, we go, very regularly to a supermarket, for instance. We need to be able to shop at a supermarket in order to eat. You know, that work is really highly valuable to our society, yet the people that are in there cooking the chicken, stacking the shelves, serving the customers, sweeping the floors, that work isn't considered valuable. Part of the reason, in our view, is for historical reasons of kind of pay inequity and sexism. So previously, you know, back in the middle of the 20th century, there was a male rate and a female rate for all different industries. And because retail was primarily a female industry, it was on those lower rates. And even though we have had, you know, on a legal level, we've got the it's the Pay Equity Act, I'm trying to think of the name of the actual act, but it was instituted in 1972. And but even though that's all in the legal sphere, in real terms, that, I guess, pay discrimination continues, even though we, of course, have a lot more men working in retail as well. It remains a low-paid industry.
And does this sort of feed into people not really seeing retail as a career?
I think that's part of it. I work in a lot of places where there is a fairly significant portion of the workers are younger workers, people at uni and that sort of thing, and they can see it as a stepping stone, way to earn money while they're at uni, and then they're off to pursue other different careers. However, there's a huge amount of the retail workforce that is in it for the long run. And workers, you know, often 50 plus, who, whether they want to continue in that sector or not, they feel like they're not able to they don't have that same employment mobility that younger people have, unfortunately, due to age discrimination. In saying that, there are a lot of people that do choose it as a career. They love their work, they love the customers, they love working with their teams. It's just about removing those barriers to enjoying their work and being able to be fully respected in terms of pay, issues around understaffing. And it also add, in a lot of our workplaces, we see issues from whether it's managers or supervisors and that sort of thing, putting a lot of pressure on workers, whether it's around productivity, but also just in the sphere of bullying. So if we can get all of those things out of the picture, people can really be able to put their all into that work and be valued in turn for it as well.
And what would achieving the living wage mean to people who work in retail?
It would be a huge, I guess, transformation of people's daily lives. We hear on a daily basis from our members their difficulties, even in paying petrol to get to work, sitting at home on their annual leave because they can't afford to go anywhere. They can't afford to spend time with family that's even a short drive away. They struggle to eat healthy food, often, you know, eating your two-minute noodles and that sort of thing on their lunch break. Even in a high-end supermarket where there's really amazing food available, they're stuck there eating two-minute noodles. So we know from our members and what they've been telling us, a living wage would mean they can eat well, they can spend more time with their family, they can go out and do activities from time to time. It's not a luxury lifestyle, but it's really what we shouldn't expect anything less for people that work full-time, that give their all to their job and are able to participate fully in society.
And speaking of upmarket supermarkets, you picketed New World Albany yesterday.
Yeah.
How did this go, and why in particular the store?
Well, it went really, really well. We had a good group of members from the store as well as their family coming along to support them. You know, as we know, the wages from retail workers are often the sole income in a lot of households, so a lot's, you know, hanging on that. So we're fighting for a living wage there. The reason we had that picket is that we've been trying to negotiate with the owner of New World Albany. We started that process just under a month ago, and in that course of those very short negotiations, we put forward our claim for the living wage. We explained exactly why that would make such a big impact for our members, and why, you know, pointing to other employers in the retail sector that actually are taking on the challenge and jumping ahead and going on to the living wage and seeing the benefits of that. In turn, the employer turned around and made an offer. We didn't see that as a, you know, not a bad place to start. The process of negotiation is one of compromise, and we're trying to meet in the middle. So if the first offer isn't bad, then, you know, I was hopeful that we could bridge the gap and find a really decent increase for our members. However, the company then made it clear that that first offer was also their final offer, and they weren't willing to negotiate with us. They weren't willing to really hear what we had to say. Our members are willing to be realistic about trying to get onto the living wage in terms of the time frame and that sort of thing, but this employer just said, well, this is what we've already budgeted for, this is our plan, and they come to negotiations and put that on the table without really listening to what we had to say. So our members decided to stand up for themselves, to take action in form of a picket yesterday, and that was held outside Westfield Albany. Got a lot of support from passers-by, distributed some leaflets throughout the mall to show customers what's going on, and calling on them to contact the owner and let them know that they also believe that he should negotiate fairly with his workers for living wages. So that process will continue unless we see significant movement from the employer.
Have they also been, I suppose, negotiating with non-unionised workers to sort of undermine your negotiations?
Yeah, so this is unfortunately a tactic that employers use from time to time. They say, oh, you know, we don't want to disadvantage our non-union members. But in fact, what they're doing is giving a pay increase over and above what they're paying to union members during the course of negotiations, and it really does undermine what we're trying to do. We're trying to negotiate in good faith with the employer. I don't think that we're holding things up unreasonably or unnecessarily. And, you know, for some people it would be that push when they're struggling to try to, you know, leave the union to get an extra 75 cents an hour. Our members are staying strong. They're not, they're willing to fight for a lot more than that. But it is a concern where employers are trying to divide the workforce like that because, you know, we're there to negotiate for our members and there are a whole host of laws to prevent that sort of discrimination. So we'll be trying our best to try and resolve the situation amicably. So many workers in New Zealand are engaged in the retail sector. Unfortunately, they are on low wages. We work constantly to try and negotiate for better wages for those workers. But because of that gulf between their wages and the living wage, we've started a campaign called Worth It, and that is that retail workers deserve the living wage. So it's under that banner that we were standing up outside Westfield Albany yesterday, and constantly around the country we're raising the Worth It claim to get retails onto the living wage.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.